Tom straightens his shoulders, relieved.
Right. Well then.
The human moment has passed, and he is all control again.
Gemma, a mother's murder is a blight on this family. It would be scandalous if the true facts were known.
He stares at me.
Mother died of cholera,
he says emphatically, as if even he believes the lie now.
I know you disagree, but as your brother, I'm telling you that the less said, the better. It's for your own protection.
He's all fact and no feeling. It will serve him well as a doctor someday. I know what he's telling me is true, but I can't help hating him for it. Are you sure it's my protection you're worried about? His jaw tightens again.
I'll overlook that last comment. If you won't think of me, of yourself, then think of Father. He's not well, Gemma. You can see that. The circumstances of Mother's death have undone him.
He fiddles with the cuffs on his shirt.
You may as well know that Father got into some very bad habits in India. Sharing the hookah with the Indians might have made him a popular businessman, one of them in their eyes, but it didn't help his constitution much. He's always been fond of his pleasures, his escapes.
Father sometimes came home late and spent from his day. I remembered Mother and the servants helping him to bed on more than one occasion. Still, it hurts to hear this. I hate Tom for telling me. Then why do you keep getting him the laudanum?
There's nothing wrong with laudanum. It's medicinal, he sniffs.
In moderation.
Father's no addict, not Father,
he says, as if he means to convince a jury.
He'll be fine now that he's back in England. Just remember what I've told you. Can you at least promise me that much? Please?
Yes, fine, I say, feeling dead inside. They don't know what they're in for at Spence, getting me. A ghost of a girl who'll nod and smile and take her tea, but who isn't really here. The driver calls down to us.
Sir, we'll be needing to pass through the east if you want to draw the curtains.
What does he mean? I ask.
We have to go through the East End. Whitechapel? Oh, for heaven's sake, the slums, Gemma,
he says, loosening the curtains on the sides of his windows to block out the poverty and filth. I've seen slums in India, I say, leaving my curtains in place. The carriage bumps its way along the cobblestones through grimy, narrow streets. Dozens of dirty, thin children clamber about, staring at us in our fine carriage. My heart sinks to see their bony, soot-smeared faces. Several women huddle together under a gaslight, sewing. It makes sense for them to use the city's light and not waste their own precious candles for this thankless work. The smell in the streets, a mix of garbage, horse droppings, urine and despair, is truly awful, and I'm afraid I might gag. Loud music and yelling spills out onto the street from a tavern. A drunken couple tumbles out after. The woman has hair the colour of a sunset and a harsh, painted face. They're arguing with our driver, holding us here.
What's the matter now?
Tom raps against the hood of the carriage to spur the driver on. But the lady is really giving the driver what for. We might be here all night. The drunken man leers at me, winks, makes an extremely rude gesture involving his index fingers. Disgusted, I turn away and look down an empty alley. Tom's leaning out his window. I hear him, condescending and impatient, trying to reason with the couple in the street. But something's gone wrong. His voice grows muffled, like sounds heard through a shell held to the ear. And then all I can hear is my blood quickening, thumping hard against my veins. A tremendous pressure seizes me, knocking the air from my lungs. It's happening again.